Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We are teaching through the book of Galatians. It's not the first time. This series is called War in the Church. Now, the first thing I want to point out is Paul addresses this letter of Galatians to the church, to the churches at Galatia. That word church means the people who belong to the Lord. Now, if this is the first time you're hearing this, these messages on Galatians, you can go to thegodschool.com and hear the other parts of these messages in their entirety. I encourage you to do that. If you be a person who belongs to the Lord, this message, these messages, are for you. They are not for the world. I'm not trying at this time to evangelize anyone, but am trying to encourage those who have been bewitched as members of so-called churches. Remember, the word means people who belong to the Lord. You don't go to church. You know, Martin Luther said churches are going to be more responsible for sending more people to hell than all the bars and brothels in the world. There has been, since the Apostle Paul left the scene, perversions of the gospel of God delivered by perverts who would pervert the gospel by claiming Jesus saves, yay, but now you have to show us. This is, you know, not an easy message to deliver because it goes against the traditions that have been promulgated in the church for almost 2,000 years. And Jesus told us that traditions make void the word of God. Now, in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 11, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, 17, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38, is the principal theme of the gospel found. That is, that King James says that the just by faith shall live. And properly translated, it is the righteous by faith shall live. And that righteousness that's spoken of in those verses, which are being quoted from the second chapter, fourth verse of the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, that righteousness is a gift of God. And Paul, I believe, just obliterates in this book of Galatians that choice that we have of either going with the works of the law or the good news of the gospel of God, which is the power of salvation. And we added to this title, War in the Church, whose side are you on? Paul makes it clear what side we ought to be on. That is, on his side. That is, on God's side. God who gave his Son. That whosoever might faith in him might have eternal life. It doesn't talk about having a great life here. It doesn't talk about God has a great plan for your life, talking in the natural. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, thy word is truth, thy word is reality, though we may not see it. Why? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, we ended last week showing those jerk statements by that guy who doesn't even call James, who doesn't even call himself an apostle. Let's just go back to the beginning of something. Let's read the opening of Galatians. It says, Paul, an apostle, that is, a sent one, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren that are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. How does James open? He opens and he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Grace and peace from God? That message he got directly from our Lord Jesus Christ versus, Paul says he's a sent one. James says he's a servant. Whose side are you going to be on? We ended last week quoting some of the words from that jerk James. But in the Galatians, we ended by saying, 26th verse of the third chapter, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus for as many of you who have been baptized, that is, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you see Jew or Greek? Or do you see bond or free? Yes, you do. Do you see male or female? Yes, we do. So this is a work that at this point in time, we don't see, but God has declared it. And we are staying with God and His Word. And it says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And we have said from this pulpit, faith is acting on the promises of God. Let's go on. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until, key word, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, rudiments of the world, under the laws, what Paul is saying here. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. I want you to please understand, when you read that which is called the Gospels, the of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is in context still and is teaching under the law. He's revealing what's about to come, about what he's about to do, wherein he took on himself our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Until the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods? He's talking to ethnos, he's talking to other than Jews. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements, the law, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Oh, the perverts that say Jesus saves. But now do this and do that. And don't do this and don't do that. You are sons and have been set free from the law. The Colossian letter says that handwriting of ordinances, that is the law, which was against us, designed to teach us that we could not measure up to that standard of righteousness which is expressed in the law, not just the Ten Commandments, but all the law, the 613 that not you or the other guy or anybody else has a complete handle on. And if they do, they have to understand they can't keep it. That was the purpose of God designed in the law to show us we don't measure up. We can't reach that standard. We come short of that standard. And the word in the New Testament for sin is hamartia. We fall short. I've said it before many times. I'm going to say it again. You can't be a Christian unless you know you are a sinner. You say, Christians are sinners in the flesh, but we're talking now about the operation of God in salvation, wherein to the ones faithing, we become a dual creation. That is, the old man who falls short of that standard expressed by the law, no doubt, and the new man, the inward man, the new creation in Christ, a new creature, to whom God now sees as Christ and puts Christ's performance on us. Says, he observed days and months and times and years. Haven't heard much of it lately, but I know it's still around, that movement called the Messianic movement, you know, where people think somehow or other they're fulfilling the law of God by observing days and months and years, by observing feast days, ceremonies, rites. They think therein they are improving on the work of God. It is God who saves. And if he's saving you as he's saving me, he will complete the work. I want to jump to the 21st verse of this fourth chapter. And those of you to whom God has given ears, I hope you hear this word of God delivered through the Apostle Paul. He says in the 21st verse, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. The one by the bondmaid, his name is Ishmael. The one by the free woman, his name is Isaac. But he, who was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. God had promised to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son. It didn't happen right away. So they took it upon themselves in somehow or other by a committee meeting that they were going to, in the flesh, fulfill that which God had promised, a son. So they came up with a plan, and Sarah says, take my handmaid Hagar and go into a tent. I'm paraphrasing to get through the story quickly. And produce a son. And, you know, no, Dr. Scott loved to say, you know, nobody had to whip Abraham to get into that tent with Hagar. Now, Paul's going to say, but he, who was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? Now, Paul's going to compare, out of the Old Testament, these two activities. For these, he says, are the two covenants, two testaments. We have an Old Testament and a New Testament. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which, you know, it comes out of bondage, which is Hagar. It's that New Testament, King James, Hagar. It's Hagar in the Old Testament, same woman. Listen, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. The conflict, the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel to set men and women free from the law, and those out of James and Jerusalem, the Jamesian crowd, who would add the law to the gospel. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which has an husband. That husband is the law. This is the Old Testament. That's quoting Isaiah 54. And boy, I think I did about a series of about 12 messages, part of which contained this declaration by God in the 54th chapter of Isaiah. You know, if you really want to begin to understand the truth of God's word and God's control over all of history, you ought to listen to the second greatest story ever told. It can be found at thegodschool.com as well. Paul goes on to say, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, of God's promise. Then, but as then, he that was born after the flesh. Now, you know, best guesstimate, when Isaac was born, Ishmael was about 16 years old. But as then, context, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Even so it is now. Those Jamesonians. Yeah, Jesus says, but nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And that first verse of the fifth chapter should actually be the last verse of the fourth chapter. Let's read it together. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. This word, stand fast, it's a military term. Why? Because there is a war going on in the church, and we are trying to make it apparent where the war lies. The war lies it with the sons of the bondwoman, which is Jerusalem, which now is against the son of the free woman. If you understand the freedom that Jesus Christ has made available to us, then stand fast. The war's ongoing. Keep your guard up. It's guard duty. The enemy is constantly trying to sneak in a little bit of the law here and a little bit of the law there. Look, I'm not singling out the Catholics, because every major denomination still tries to put in a little bit of the law and a little bit of the law here and a little bit of the law there. But I was born and raised a Catholic, and you know, it's something I have to fight all the time. You know, wherein I'm looking at myself and saying, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing? No, did Jesus Christ give himself for nothing, or did he give himself to set us free that we might become sons and daughters of God according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. I'm going to end this here now, but we'll be back. TheGodSchool.com. I hope that God has given you ears to hear this message. But for now, that's the God School for today.